Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. And Jordan, today is, I think, a good day for us to be chatting because we should try to make sense of this general sell-off that we are seeing, a rotation a bit more out of the risk-off assets, the safe assets, more into, I guess, some of the markets, because what we're seeing here is gold down about $50 on the futures, now below 2,000. Silver is down close to a dollar on the futures. We also have the dollar down 1.15, so now below 98 on the dollar index. This is kind of an unwind from that war trade, I guess, the war premium that was put into a lot of commodities and safe haven assets. Let's start with gold. What is your outlook simply for the gold chart now that gold has given up that 2000 level, but is still, well, right around 2000, it's still a very strong gold price?
Well, my outlook is I think gold is forming the 11-year cup and handle pattern. And within the handle itself, gold is forming a cup and handle in this smaller pattern. So, you know, you have this huge cup and then you have the handle where gold rallied back to the high, and now it's going to correct and consolidate again. So the handle on the larger pattern is its own cup and handle. So there's a measured upside target. I'd have to look at the numbers, but I think it comes pretty close to 2,500. And if you look at the action yesterday, gold, it got up pretty close to the high, and then it reversed lower by about 35 or 40 bucks. It was still up decently on the day. However, you had bearish candles in all the stock indices, the mining stock indices. You had inverted hammers everywhere, and so you saw that in a lot of stocks. So it was predictable that we could see a pullback, and that's why I put out a flash update last night saying I think we've hit some kind of short-term top. But this is obviously a pretty big sell-off in gold, you know, more than I anticipated. Silver, I thought, would be able to get up to 28, 29. Maybe it still has a chance to do that, but maybe not. So that's where we are. And if you look at the move in the stocks, as well as gold specifically, it was starting to kind of look like a rhino horn, you know, that shape. And, you know, we're only in the second week of March. And if you go back to the end of January, I mean, gold was at 1800 or trading a little bit below. So that was a huge move. It has to be digested. I was thinking, you know, 1950, 1960 is initial support. And I think that's where we're trading right now. Or we're about 1990, so not quite there. But yeah, that 1950, 1960 is initial support. I mean, if you take the 50% of that move in the last, you know, 5 weeks, I mean, that would bring us to maybe 1920s, something like that. And I do think 1920 is going to be a floor. And then you have, after that, you have support around 1950. So I look for that area for gold to find a short-term equilibrium. But the move up was definitely extended, you know, very strong buying over the last couple of days. And, you know, the stock market's rallying today. There is going to be an inverse correlation there where if we see a rally in the stock market for a few months, gold is going to be soft for a few months. So that's just going to be the reality going forward. But we broke 1900 convincingly. I mean, I would, at this point, I would be shocked if 1900 doesn't hold, or 1920, because that's a breakaway gap that we had last week. But in another thing is, in really strong trends, you tend to get very swift pullbacks where you give up a lot, but it happens really quickly. So we need to be on alert for that in these stocks, where they can correct quite a bit, you know, in a few days or in a week or two. And then, you know, you got to jump on that weakness because it's not going to last long. So, I mean, this hurts in the short term, but it's necessary for the market. Gold hit resistance and it's going to consolidate here and build the handle on the smaller cup and handle pattern and break out at some point later this year. That's the question. Is it going to be in a couple weeks or a couple months or 4 or 5 months? I don't know yet, but that's my thinking.
Well, Jordan, you're absolutely correct that a lot of these markets take the stairs up and the elevator down, because when we see these sell-offs, they happen and they're quick. But in a bullish trend like this, like we've seen in the precious metals, I would imagine that moving forward, these pullbacks are going to be more shallow. And like you mentioned, they will be a buy the dip kind of moment. I know you put a lot of focus on where things close on the weekly, monthly, and quarterly charts. We did see that strong February close. We did see follow through last week with a strong weekly close. Unless we completely fall out of bed even further here, we're still going to have a solid weekly close here. But what I'm interested in is your thoughts on the quarterly close. We've got a quarterly close coming up in March, and it should be a pretty strong one for gold. How do you think that sets up the bigger picture for gold?
Well, it sets up really well, because gold is going to close the month of the quarter above 1900. I mean, you never can leave anything out with precious metals, but I would be shocked at this point if gold falls under 1920. So the monthly, I mean, I'm looking at the monthly chart now, monthly and quarterly closes, those should be pretty good. And if they're above 1900, which I expect, it's going to look good on every time frame. So that's the reality. I mean, you get a good close over 1900, 1920. That's an all-time high quarterly close, I think. And that's just telling us that the larger trend is higher and that we've cleared resistance. And so looking at the monthly gold chart, I think there's some resistance right about 2000 or 1990 where we are right now. So that's one level to follow as we get, you know, over the weeks ahead and approach the monthly close. But yeah, the quarterly close is going to look good. I mean, getting 1900, as I was saying in the past, I mean, it was critical on every close, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly. And when the market really cleared that, you know, it had a breakaway gap. So those gaps won't fill. You know, we're in good shape, even though we might have a sharp correction here for a few days or a few weeks.
Okay, so keep an eye for the end of this month on that 1900, even more so 1920 level. We've heard that level before from some other technicians, so sounds key. Jordan, what if gold does go just below 1900 and close the month there? We have seen many breakdowns, and not that wouldn't even be a breakdown, but many corrections right to the end of the month, right to a quarterly close that hit some targets that a lot of people are watching. Would that change any of your outlook? Say if we got a close at the end of this month at 1880 or something just below 1900.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to look at the other side, but I just don't foresee how that can happen at this point, given the breakaway gap and the move that we had. Now, if that were to happen, you know, that would be a big failed breakout for gold, and I'm almost at a loss for thoughts on that. It would just be a significant major failed breakout, and it would signal that gold would have to correct and consolidate and try again to break out. I'm putting my thinking hat on because I like to look at technicals and fundamentals and all those things together. And I don't know how the macro would align with a failed breakout on that scale. Yeah, the Fed, maybe they can hike a couple times, but the yield curve as of yesterday was 20 basis points. So the yield curve is threatening to invert before the Fed even starts hiking this cycle. Even if there was a total ceasefire with this conflict, I think that a lot of damage has been done to global energy markets, global food markets. There's even in the best case scenario, there's going to be disruptions. There's going to be inflation over the months ahead. I think it's going to stay, you know, stubbornly high. So that's a problem. Then circling back to the yield curve, which has a near perfect track record of predicting recession. So it's possible that gold could correct and consolidate for a few months, and the stock market, which is really oversold, and sentiment is really bearish, it's possible that we could see a counter trend move in this larger picture. But again, I really don't see the scenario where gold is going to, you know, these breakaway gaps are going to fail and then gold's going to close below 1900. To me, that would, I know that we've seen a lot of false moves in precious metals, but that to me would be really bizarre. Like, I can't recall a time that that has happened in the last 20 or 25 years.
Yeah, that would be wild, and it's wild times, but it still seems like there's a pretty solid underpinning of support for gold at a few different levels below where it's at now. So we'll keep following along. And as you mentioned, the Fed's just not behind the curve. They're really behind the curve. And to your point about the yield curve almost being flat before they started, this is going to be interesting to see unfold as they meet next week. But I'd love to get your thoughts on silver, the other precious metal, Jordan. I know you just did a video on it, and you had mentioned that, or you'd asked the question to your audience, is it possible to have $100 silver by 2024, which is just 2 years away? So I'd love to get your short-term and longer-term thoughts on silver.
Okay, well, my thinking is my gold target for the next 2 to 3 years or before 2025 is $4,000 an ounce. Now, the reason for that is you have the measured upside target in the cup and handle, which is 3,000. Then you have the log target, which is just the percent target, which comes to around 4,000, depending on where you measure it from, how you measure it. And that's, you know, based on everything that I've studied, I think that we're going to see 4,000 gold before 2025. And that brings the question, okay, well, in that scenario, where does silver go? So I tend to think, you know, the measured upside target for gold, 3,000. Okay, that should be enough for silver to get to 50, 60 to 1 ratio, still, you know, high in a bull market scenario. But, you know, 4,000 for silver to get to 100, the ratio would have to come down to 40 to 1, which is a little aggressive, you know, and looking at some Fibonacci targets and other targets, I could see silver going to 80, which would be a 50 to 1 ratio, which is a little more conservative, which I like to be. And it's really going to depend on what is the macro that's driving gold and silver at that point in time. If it is where we are now, which is economic weakness, recession, stagflation, you know, call it the fear trade, whatever, that type of scenario, gold is going to outperform silver, or at least in a raging bull move, silver is not going to massively outperform gold. And, you know, silver, and so in that type of scenario, if that's what's driving this over the next, you know, 18 to 24 months, then silver won't get to $100 in that scenario. It will underperform. Now, if at some point we get into a situation where, you know, maybe there's a, I don't know, maybe it's at the end of this 2 year period where it's like a 2009 or like 1930 scenario, or you could say, you know, COVID in the spring 2020. If it's that kind of scenario where, you know, real interest rates are really negative, there's a huge reflationary move, you know, led by precious metals, inflation expectations are rising significantly and sharply. In that type of scenario, if that's the, you know, the last half or the last third of this coming move, that type of scenario, silver would really outperform gold. And so if you have that, then I would think, yeah, it's possible it could hit 100. So that's how I look at the next couple of years. I mean, just quick thoughts on the short term. It is a little disappointing that silver was unable to get up to that $28, $29 level. But it's a reflection of just the macro, which is not, you know, it's more favorable for gold relative to silver and the other commodities right now. I know that, you know, we're going to have supply concerns all over the place. You know, inflation is going to stay high for most of the year. But, you know, in a recessionary or declining growth environment, that's one where gold outperforms silver and their commodities, not the other way. So I think that explains why, at least here temporarily, silver hasn't performed quite as well. And, you know, maybe we need to see gold. Maybe it'll come when gold breaks out of the next resistance, you know, 2070 now. Maybe when that happens, then we'll see silver start to outperform gold again.
Jordan, how do you compare these moves in precious metals like gold and silver, not as much, to the other commodities? I know there's been some shocks in individual commodities, but broadly, commodities, base metals, energy, they're all moving higher, and they all have aggressively moved higher. Silver's broadly lagged, but overall, how do you balance out the higher prices, not just in precious metals, but commodities across the board?
With respect to gold and to a lesser degree silver, it does worry me a little bit that, you know, all commodities have been moving higher, because we see that trade kind of unwind today, and look what happens. You know, I'm looking at my screen, you know, all the metals are down, you know, big, but these ugly candles on the daily. So that's one concern I have if you are a gold and silver bull, which I am. That would be my concern, is that, you know, at some point over the weeks and months ahead, I don't know, maybe it's starting today, you know, if we get an unwind in these huge moves and tensions in the war subside, you know, you could see these commodities give back a lot of these gains. Now, in that scenario, I think gold and silver would obviously outperform. But if everything gets hit, you know, if you see nickel and, you know, copper and some of these commodities have significant corrections, in that type of scenario, gold and silver would correct too. They just wouldn't correct as much. And like I said, maybe we're seeing the start of that type of correction today. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that to me is going to be interesting, because at some point, you know, as we get, whether it's 6-9 months from now, you know, we're going to have a recession coming. And so, you know, that's going to hurt commodities. And so it'll be interesting to see how gold and silver fare at that point. And can they diverge if the other commodities are going down? And if you look at the, you know, last point, if you look at the 72 to 74, you know, that period, which was an inflationary recession, you know, that's a possible scenario going forward. And if you look at gold was negatively correlated to the economy and the stock market at that point in time. And what's interesting is commodities and silver, they peaked, you know, early, maybe in the first, you know, one third to one half of that period, whereas gold peaked later in the move. But commodities and silver, silver did the best of everything through like the first one third of the recession. So that's just something to keep in mind. I mean, if we do have an inflationary recession at some point, you know, when you get to the middle towards the end of it, gold will not, it'll flip around, because when the recession, you know, when it ends, you know, and the stock market will discount that in advance, you know, when we get the flip of this inverse trade, then, you know, gold will sell off. So that's one scenario I'm thinking about later on, is if we have an inflationary recession, how does everything perform? So I don't know if that directly answered your question, but those are just what I'm thinking about at this time.
Fair enough, Jordan. And hey, there is no right answer, because we don't know how it's all going to play out. And this year, actually the last couple of years, have been full of black swan events that are, quite frankly, impossible to predict. So now we're just trying to figure out what's going to happen with the war between Russia and Ukraine, what that war premium is, and if there are going to be any drastic changes to commodities and the way those are being supplied around the world. Again, no right answers. We don't know, but it is always interesting looking at the charts and at least trying to pick out some of those resistance levels to see where any sort of rotation could stop. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.